All right, let's talk about sex.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex.
How do you feel about that? Can we talk about sex? We haven't had like a good sex segment in a while, and there's a lot of news in the world of sex right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, the thing that happened this week that I thought was super interesting, Andrew Cuomo's daughter came out as demisexual. So, of course, everyone's Googling demisexual, which apparently it's been around for, it's a thing. It's been a thing, but it's just nothing that anybody really has talked about or recognized. You don't meet people and they say, I'm demisexual. Like you may know people who are and not even realize it because they might not realize it. So demisexual, in case you don't know, means that you fall in love with the person. It doesn't matter whether they're gay, straight, bi, poly. You just fall in love with the person.
Why does it have to have a name?
Why?
And why do you have to come out in public and tell people this is what I am? Why
I have
do
answers
I care
for you.
Who mm-hmm. you sleep with? What? Who do I care? I don't care. Call yourself whatever you want. Yep, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be this whole thing.
Yes, it does. And let me explain to you why. She makes this point, and people like me who are advocates for the LGBTQ plus community, here's why. We still live in a world where people assume everyone is heterosexual and that heterosexuality is the norm. You know, it's normal. Anything else is not normal. We still live in that world. When she came out as demisexual, she still got homophobic hate on her Instagram page when she talked about it. Like, that's why. You know, if I come out and say that, like, my boyfriend and I had, you know, vanilla sex this weekend, nobody's going to be on there and be like, oh, you heteros, oh, breeder. No one's going to say that to me. But people still have a negative opinion about LGBTQ plus, you know, asexuality, whatever else it is. Attitudes like yours, why do you have to tell us? Is the problem.
No, I don't That's care who you sleep in bed with. I don't care. But, why does it have to be a press release?
Okay. I mean, Here's why. Because there are people that are experiencing a certain sexuality and they're confused about themselves. Like, okay, I had this really good friend. Remember when I was a personal assistant to all those celebrities back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know you then, but that's what I did. Like when I was a teenager, I was a personal assistant to like everybody. So when you're a personal assistant to a celebrity, you become friends with personal assistants to other celebrities because you have to organize the celebrities together. Like I worked for a
schedule
guy.
Play who, dates.
Not yeah, sometimes play dates, but you know, work. I worked for a famous Oscar winning director who was an actor too. And he was doing a movie with another television star.
Mm-hmm.
So the television star had a personal assistant. So she and I had to talk all the time to organize these two guys' schedules. That's what we did. So as a result, because the two guys were good friends, she and I became very good friends and started hanging out together. Her boss had a house in Bridgehampton that he never used because he was always like making films or making television or running around the country or the world, whatever. So for this one summer, he's in like Italy shooting a film. So he said to her, take my house in Bridgehampton. Enjoy it. Have fun. She calls me up. She's like, ka-ching, we're going to Bridgehampton. We're taking his house. So she and I alone together had this amazing time. Like we were there for like a month. We had so much fun at this big giant mansion in Bridgehampton. And while we were there, she had told me, I knew that she was from Seattle. She dated, Kurt Cobain's bodyguard, this guy, and they were together for like years. And she was telling me all about him and how serious they were, and they broke up and blah, blah, blah. After him, she started dating this woman, Laura. And she and Laura were like madly in love, together for 2 years, blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking, is she bi? Is she gay? Is she maybe not comfortable with her sexuality? I introduced her to a friend of mine, a male friend of mine, who is bi, so he, you know, sleeps with men and women, they fall madly in love and get married. So she was in a relationship with a very straight bodyguard, big, muscular, hetero guy
mm-hmm.
Then she was in a very serious relationship for 2 years with a woman, very feminine woman too. Not like, I mean, she was super fat, like lipstick lesbian. They call them, you know, whatever, like super feminine. Then she meets my bisexual friend. They fall madly in love and they get married.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're still together to this day. Cause I saw her on Instagram and she still has his last name. So I'm assuming so. Anyway, so what is her sexuality? And the answer is she is demisexual. This is what demisexual is. She meets somebody and falls in love with that person.
But she didn't have to press release it.
Well, no, because she looks, I think at the time, yeah, she was just dating who she dated and fell in love with who she fell in love with, you know? And for all I know, she and my friend, because he's bisexual, he might be still, maybe part of their marriage was to be open, that she could still be with women, he could still be with, I have no idea. But I'm just saying, like, it explains, when you hear a definition of something and you go, oh, I know somebody who falls in that category. And that's what I would explain to people. She falls in love with the person is how I would always.
Don't
people
we say, all? Well, don't we all fall in love with the person?
No, because I mean, I've been best friends with women, but I've never fallen in love with a woman. She is open to, for her as a demisexual, she does not care what is going on. You know, if you're male or female, she falls in love with a person, whatever they tend to be, is my point. That's the idea. So anyway, Andrew Cuomo's daughter came out as demisexual and she explains it, which is really interesting because the way she explains it makes perfect sense to me. She was on some podcast or some Instagram show or whatever with some dude and she explained exactly how she came about discovering and how she came out as demisexual.
When I was in elementary school, I feared that I was lesbian. When I was in middle school, I came out to my family and close friends as bisexual. When I was in high school, I discovered pansexuality and thought that's the flag for me. And I recently learned more about demisexuality and have believed that identity resonates with me most. So I think that we're always evolving and growing, and trying to label ourselves only limits us. These spectrums are as fluid as we are, and attachment to labels only restricts us.
She makes the point that she would like to live in a world where people just, like you said, like are what they are. We don't care who you have sex with. It doesn't have to be part of your...
People are people. It's just you fall in love with the people. It's not, it doesn't matter if the person is yellow, green, black, male, female. It's you fall in love with the people. Yeah, you can hate people, like I hate all people, or you love all people. Why does it have to have 30,000 different words for it?
Because there's still a lot of hate out there. Because whether she calls herself something or doesn't call herself something, when she's out with another woman and they're holding hands or they're making out or whatever, you know, people, there's two reasons, because people will still say negative things about them or negative things about you based on your sexuality. So no one wants to get to know you as a person. They just want to know who you're sleeping with so that we can label you and yell at you. But also I find, especially with a lot of my friends that are really, like, I have to say this about a couple of my trans friends. They are really into the trans community. They're very involved with trans issues. And then I have one friend who's trans that could give a crap about any of that stuff. He's just trans. He just, that's who he happens to be. He goes on with his life. And it drives him crazy that other trans people are like, why are you not more active? Why aren't you fighting for this? Why aren't you fighting for that? And it bothers him because he's like, it's just who I am. I'm not an activist. I'm just somebody who was born in the wrong body. Like, why does that suddenly make me somebody that I now have to fight for the rights of others? I didn't want to do that when I was a female. Why would I want to do that now that I'm a male? Like, what? That shouldn't change just because I identify as trans. So I think that happens a lot of times. I think when somebody declares themselves something in particular or is perceived as something. I mean, she's in the world of politics. Her father is Andrew Cuomo. So I think people expect her, if you're a lesbian, why aren't you fighting for lesbian causes? Well, because I'm demisexual and I don't want to necessarily only pinpoint lesbian causes. I also want to fight for other gay rights or rights in general or female rights or, you know, whatever. So I think that the pressure is on for certain people and a certain generation for sure to speak out and be an activist rather than just live their lives. I think it's really hard to just go live your life.
I agree with David Seeley 1,000,000%. I'm semi-sexual. I'm not in the mood half the time. That's it. I'm barely in the mood, so I'm semi-sexual. It's a perfect way to describe me.
Right. And David agrees with my trans friend 1,000,000% that just because my friend is trans doesn't mean that he has to suddenly become part of a community necessarily. And also, she's young. She's at a place where her identity is important for her to figure out who she is.
And it's going
to
change 70 more times, probably.
Or not. Maybe she felt, like she said, she thought she was gay. Then she thought she was bi. She thought she was pansexual. She's trying to figure out who she is. Mm-hmm. And then she learned about demisexuality and was like, wait a minute, that makes sense to me.
When I saw the movie Ghost, I was demisexual also.
Oh.
We talked about a couple of weeks ago, speaking of sex, there was going to be a sex festival. Remember we were talking about that?
Yes, that. Remember, so we started the segment by me saying it's time to talk about sex. I was going to tell you about that, the one in Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so it ended up happening. So we talked about this a while ago, that there was some big sex party that was supposed to take place 4th of July weekend of all times. They don't care about 4th of July, obviously, in England, but it happened to
that day.
Yeah, right.
Actually,
exactly.
Not a fun day for them.
It happened to have coincided with the weekend that they were planning on doing this big, giant sex party.
It's like celebrating your divorce. So,
right. Yeah. Good point.
Your husband is celebrating it. You should really celebrate it.
Right, exactly.
So they really don't celebrate 4th of July there.
So the party was going to be, I think it was £200 per person, which is like
$300 and something dollars
yep. per person. And, you know, with that, you get it's if you've ever been to a sex party, a lot of it's funny. They always try to sell you stuff. Like any party you go to where there's any kind of theme, like Tupperware, it doesn't really matter. Skincare, sex. There's always someone trying to sell you something, you know. So a lot of times you go to these sex parties, there's always these booths where they're trying to sell you like, are you into BDSM? Here's a new face mask, or here's a new this, or here's a new that, you know, here's a new strap on. So I think that was part of the party, that they had like, you know,
vendors
demonstrations or whatever, like vendor demonstrations. Mm-hmm. So it ended up being more like a book fair, like a book expo kind of thing. But they did the party. Hundreds of people attended. It was COVID compliant. You had to get COVID tested within 48 hours. Everyone did. You had to be obviously negative. A lot of people were already vaccinated. It didn't really matter. And they sold 400 tickets. 400
That's
people
crazy.
Showed up.
$325 a pop.
Yep.
They sold that much.
Yeah, there was a cigar bar. There was face painting, which is hilarious because they do that at children's parties. I love it. It's like, will you paint my face or will you paint something else? I would have my tits painted. That sounds like fun. There was demonstrations, like I said. There was naked performances. There was an adult bouncy castle.
How can you do that? That's the one I don't understand. There's some people, like, you don't want to see them do a bouncy castle. Like, you don't want to see me naked bouncy castle. That's not going to turn you on and go, oh, right. I want him.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think I'm going to get laid all weekend if you see me in a bouncy castle.
Yeah, but if you remember on The Man Show, when Jimmy Kimmel used to do The Man Show with Adam Carolla, and they would have women on trampolines, it's kind of like that.
Hot women on trampolines, but the women that go to the COVID sex fair,
yeah,
I don't think they look like the girls Jimmy Kimmel had on the bouncy thing.
But it's for the voyeurs. you know, like I said, remember, I told you when I was researching this for a book I was writing, I got taken to a sex club. And the thing about it that I found the most fascinating was the fact that there was this one room and it was all glass enclosed. So you had the people inside doing all kinds of stuff and then the people outside watching. And I said to my girlfriend who took me, who was like trying to explain the whole thing to me, I was like, what's up with this? Like, those people want to be watched? She's like, yeah, that's the whole point. The people who want to be watched, who are voyeurs and exhibitionists. So you have the exhibitionists inside wanting to be watched and the voyeurs outside watching them. It's perfect because this way the voyeurs don't bother their neighbors. They're not peeping Toms. They're watching people who want to be watched. And the people who want to be watched, because we used to live across the street. When I lived on the Upper West Side, we lived across the street from this couple that was obviously really into exhibitionism. And this wasn't like here where the nearest building is like all the way down. You can't see anything. The nearest building was like right here, like within inches. And they had a big giant window. It was not covered. They walked around naked all the time. They had sex in front of the window naked all the time. They were really into it. But I didn't want to watch. I'm not a voyeur. So for me, it was like, I know you're into exhibitionism. That's turning you on. But I'm being sexually assaulted. Like, I'm being forced.
Buy a curtain. Do something.
Right. They didn't. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's their apartment. They can do whatever they want. And they would say, well, just don't look. But our TV, my roommates and I, our TV was right by the window. So it was like, you know, so we put curtains up. But it's like, why should I? So in a sex club environment, it's a lot better because you get the people that want to be watched and the people that want to do the watching.
Good
it's
point.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, it works out really well. Anyway, so that party did take place. And then here's the last sex thing that we need to talk about. And that is, I think it's very interesting that now, as we talk about LGBTQ, polyamorous people want to be included in that.
Tell me what that is.
Polyamorous means that you are in a relationship and you will bring a third, like a throuple.
Oh. So you know, a guy who's married to a cool wife, or that's how you say it.
The throuples I know are all gay couples. But so anyway, it's engaging in multiple romantic partners. So it's not just like the two of you have sex with a third person. The third person becomes part of your relationship and all three of you are in love with each other. Like sister wives, exactly. Except it's all consensual. Mm-hmm. Usually there's a primary couple and they bring in a third person. Or sometimes it's a couple and another couple. And everybody is, you know, together they take care of the kids, the house, they pay the bills. A lot of times when you're polyamorous, you might live together in the same house, you know. So the new thing is that poly people want to be included in the LGBTQ plus community. But the argument is that poly is more of a kink, and that once you open that door, then so foot fetish people, do you include them? LGBTQ
F P Q R. It's going to keep going. Then you're going to have to get a new name for all those letters.
But I guess the hope is eventually we have to we stop counting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like everyone is accepted. Everybody has the same rights. Everybody is who they are. Nobody makes fun of anybody else. And we just live in that world.